You are listening to the official podcast of the Church at Lake Travis in Austin, Texas, a community of faith that exists to connect the disconnected.
This last Wednesday, we had a little get-together of our house churches, and we went out to Lakeway City Park, and we were just hanging out and playing football at the end of the night. And so I had this vicious battle with Sam Self that I lost, and I ended up on the ground and falling. I tried to save myself with my elbow, which it went right up the elbow into my shoulder, and I heard it crunch about three different times. Long story short, by the end of the night, three of us, all old guys, what I call fat bellies, are all walking around with just arms in slings. I'm texting them the next day. I'm like, hey, did any of y'all go to the hospital last night? Do we need any prayer? And they were like, on the verge of it, but we won. That's the most important thing. So we dominated those seventh graders. Yes, sir. So we took that as a consolation prize, but I was like, man, it starts off apparently, all of us, it was the same thing, shoulders. I was like, apparently it starts off with shoulders, and then in a couple years it just goes straight hip. Is that right? Like you just fall and start breaking hips. So I don't know, but I guess that's what I got to look forward to. But we're excited about summer being here. Our hope for you as a church is just that it's a restorative time for you and your family. I don't know about you, but going into May, in the middle of May, it seemed like we were coming out of a couple month sport season, and we had something that just seemed like every night. And I was like, I am ready for summer. My hope for you guys is just that it is a restorative time for your families, that you get to spend some time bonding, that you get to spend some time away, just decompressing together and remembering. I don't know, I just feel like something's kind of sloughing off me. With each day that we get further away from school. And I just hope that you can enjoy snow cones and ice cream cones and cold swimming holes and hot summer sun and just make some memories with your family and reconnect. That's our hope for you guys. We're going to be jumping into Hebrews chapter 7 if you got your Bibles with you this morning. We started last week, we finished up chapter 6. And what happens is if you go all the way back to chapter 5, at the very end of the chapter, there's this character, this person from the Old Testament that enters the story. And the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it is, but he just randomly interjects this character, and his name is Melchizedek. And he's like ready to go all in on Melchizedek, but all of a sudden on chapter 6, you jump into chapter 6, and there's no mention. It was like there he was in chapter 5. There's no transition. All of a sudden in chapter 6, if you read it correctly, he's just yelling at the people. He goes on this little theological rant. And he's like, look, my friends, I was ready to go all in on Melchizedek, but he kind of goes Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men, and he's like, you can't handle Melchizedek, okay? You aren't ready. And so in chapter 6, he kind of backs off and said, look, my friends, we're still drinking mama's milk. We're still suckling on spiritual milk. And he said, it's time for you to move on to solid food. We talked about that over the last couple of weeks. Then he comes back into chapter 7. He says, okay, my friends, let's do it. It's time to bite into the T-bone steak that is Melchizedek. Let's go all in on him. So if you've got your Bibles, chapter 7, verse 1 here, we'll pick it up. Reading through verse 10, it says this in verse 1. It says, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning. We're going straight up Old Testament here. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Verse 3, without father or mother, without genealogy, which is interesting, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Verse 5, now the law requires that the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people. That is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they are also descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, talking about Melchizedek. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Interesting passage. We're going to break it down. Let's all pray together. Y'all bow your heads. Dear Father, I just pray as we jump into the first week of summer, Lord, whether we have kids that age or not, there's just a feeling of the season that, hey, it's just It is time for some fun. It is time for some relaxation. It's time to connect and be relational. And God, I just pray for that for our church. Lord, I pray as we have some down moments, just sitting by pool or out playing games or staying up late playing board games in our house, Father, that's just a chance to smile and laugh and think about good times with our family and, most important, create new good times, new memories. Lord, I pray that as we wrestle this morning with all that we've been blessed with, this passage lays out all that we've been blessed with, that we will teach that principle to our children, that we will help them to see that it is truly a blessing to give, and that we have been given so much. And Father, out of that, we can have the courage, we can have the faith, knowing that you're going to provide, you already have, to give generously. God, I pray that you just help us, help lay that on our hearts this morning. I thank you for your word and its truth, and I thank you most importantly for your son, his name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. So, like we said, at the beginning of this chapter, it introduces this mysterious guy, Melchizedek, and he hasn't been mentioned in Jewish history for 1,000 years. He hasn't been talked about, and all of a sudden, he pops back up here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 7. Hadn't been mentioned in the Bible in a long time. You have to go all the way back to Genesis. Normally, in the Bible, when they enter a new character, you would get the guy's story. You would get his genealogy. You would get where he was born. You would get where he was raised. We get none of that with Melchizedek. He's just kind of this mysterious guy that shows up on the page, and it says, blesses Melchizedek, or Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And then in return, Abraham tithes, gives a tenth back to Melchizedek. It's an interesting passage. So I just want to read for a little text. If you go all the way back to Genesis 14, 17 through 20, we find the scripture that the Hebrews writer in chapter 7 is referencing. Genesis 14 says this in chapter 14, verse 17. It says, after Abraham returned from defeating, this is an interesting name, Chedorlaomer, I'm going to give that the best try that I can, and the kings allied with him, or five kings in total, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheva. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So quick snapshot of what's going on here. Abraham was saving. He was totally going and saving out of his own trouble his nephew Lot. And there were these five kings that were bad guys. The kids, I've learned these days, they call them OGs, okay? So you can reference that on your own. You can check out what an OG is. But these guys were bad dude kings, okay? Five of them. Abraham goes and defeats them all. He goes and beats them. And then when he is on his way home, out of the mist, just to kind of the way it almost is told, up out comes this king and priest. We're going to talk about that next week. There aren't many kings and priests, and that's with reason in Scripture, but he's both a king and priest, which is significant, and he brings bread and wine, the symbolism of him being Jesus here. We'll talk about it next week, but it's really interesting and significant. But he just rides out of the mist and comes up to Abraham and blesses him on behalf of the Lord Most High. And let me be clear, he's not of the same church denomination as Abraham, but he's representing him, God, as priest. And in response to this blessing, out of generosity and out of gratitude for what God Most High has just done in his life, in Abraham's life, rescuing his nephew Lot, and then also defeating these five kings, he gives the first, he gives the best, he gives the first fruit of the windfall that he had just taken in, the spoils that he had just taken in from beating these five kings. In Genesis 14, it says he was priest of the Most High God, and he blessed Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, he says, who delivered the enemies into your hand. And so this is where the writer of Hebrews picks up in the beginning of chapter 7, retelling the story, putting a different spin on it. And the main thing that he's getting at here is this. His ultimate point is, the series has been Christ is better. He's ultimately saying Melchizedek Abraham is a father of the faith, right? He's a forefather of the faith, but Melchizedek is even better than Abraham because Abraham is tithing, is giving money to Melchizedek. That's his main point. But when I read this passage, it teaches me so much about what I do with the blessings that I have in my life. And so there's three things that as I read this passage this week that were kind of big takeaways for me. And the first one is this. The first point that I want us to take away is this. When I read this passage, both of them, Genesis 14 and Hebrews 7, is this. That gratitude and generosity go together. That our generosity is directly connected with the gratitude that we have in our life. It's a direct expression of gratitude. Generosity is. I believe that gratitude and generosity are a big part of the Christian life. So here Abraham has had this big windfall in this battle, and the first thing that he looks to do is to express gratitude, is to give away the first of this new windfall. So the first thing he does is he doesn't run off like, you know, what do people do when they win the Super Bowl? When the guy interviews the quarterback, what does he always say? I'm going to Disney, right? And that's not what Abraham does. Abraham doesn't conquer these kings, take in all the spoil, and is blessed with all this money and benefits now, and then run off going, I'm going to Disney, and run off to, you know, the distance, or run off into the distance. That's not what he does. Instead, he comes back and says, I want to find somebody to express gratitude to. You may be sitting here today, and you're like, Lee, come on. Let's be serious. They didn't have Disney back then, okay, right? But let me be clear about this, my friends. There's always a Disney. There's always an opportunity to go blow the blessings that we have in life. Just ask the prodigal son. Abraham doesn't blow it on whatever his Disney would have been. Instead, out of his thanks, out of his gratitude, he goes looking for somebody to express that to. Out of his gratitude to Melchizedek, he is looking on behalf of God. He is looking for somebody then to be generous with. It's a huge principle being taught here. Abraham seems to recognize the great need that we have to express gratitude in our lives, to realize that all this, all that we have, my friends, all that the late Travis lifestyle provides, it doesn't really belong to us. It's nothing that we really have a right to. Don't get me wrong. We can look at ourselves in the mirror and go, I worked hard, right? I get up early. I stay up late. I went to school. I'm getting done with college. I got a degree. I found the job. But if you really look into the deep, dark recesses of your heart, you got to know this doesn't all come from you. Because let me ask you a couple of other questions that will really lay out the need for gratitude and then generosity. What do we have to be grateful about? Our health. The opportunity to be living and breathing and walking. I experienced that, being able to raise our shoulder here on Sunday after what I experienced. I'm thankful for that. The opportunity to have my job. I will sit there going, how's this going to cost me from driving, okay, from my medical job over the next couple of weeks? I've got to have thanks for that. I've got to be incredibly grateful for where I was born because I was born in the Lake Travis from 20 years ago. Colleyville and Grapevine was Lake Travis in 1990. It was in the top 10 of wealth of homes in all the United States. And I was blessed and fortunate enough to be born there, to have freedom and incredible opportunity. And I can't say because of that, really, look into the deep dark recesses of my heart and say, oh, it was me that pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I have to say a whole lot of things fell into place. Thank you, God, for those blessings that allowed me to be born into Jim and Laura Rutter in Colleyville, Texas, and to have a great school to go to have a great family to raise me, for them to have the financial opportunity to send me to camps and school with a university and then a seminary without debt. And I have to be thankful for that, my friends. Abraham recognizes that and says, I really can't say this is my own doing. Out of his gratitude, he then expresses generosity. My friends, this is such a big thing for us to teach here in Lake Travis. to teach our children. To say, because I'm a Christ follower, I am also grateful and then generous for our kids to see this. Because without it, I've seen it. I remember in Colleyville, Texas, where I was sitting in the bus line one day, and it's pouring outside. We had to be in the gym this day. And this girl was expressing all the rights that she had in life. And she was sitting there making fun of the guys who mow her lawn and clean her house. And just saying, they are so bad and I am so good, essentially. And even as an eighth grader, my heart, I was just like, you have no right. Your dad is a breath away from, for whatever reason, losing his job due to health, due to moral failure, due to whatever. And then what? Are you going to be sitting there saying the same thing? Are you going to have the same attitude of entitlement? And it's my right, and taking for granted what we have. My friends, as Christ followers, it is huge for, out of gratitude, being thankful for what we have and then expressing that through generosity. Abraham does. He's just looking for somebody to go, here, I don't even know this guy. Here, take my money. Take the first fruit. Take the first of all that I have. Take the best of my blessing. Here you go. Out of my gratitude, I need to be generous. It's huge for us to apply this in our hearts, because if we don't, my friends, it sows seeds of discontent and bitterness. Then we get to a place where we begrudge anybody who gets the promotion or the raise, right? We can't be happy for them. Why was it not me? Or we come to a place where we will never be happy with what we have, because there's always $1 more, right? And so we can be the richest people that are on the planet, which we are, my friends, and still act and feel like the poorest in our hearts, because we can't be grateful or appreciate or be contented with all that we have. You see, it robs us. It steals us of all that we have been blessed with. It steals our blessings. When we are not gracious and expressing gratitude for what we have, and then out of it flowing generosity, it steals from the blessings that we have in our very own hearts. That's the first thing. We can become Ebenezer Scrooge. Second point, we are blessed. First thing, generosity and gratitude, they go together. Second thing, we are blessed to be a blessing. So in Genesis 14, Abraham gets blessed first. If you read that passage, Melchizedek comes riding out of the mist, don't know anything about him, says he has essentially no father, no mother. We don't know where he began, where he ended. We don't know where he came from. But he comes out and blesses Abraham. Melchizedek blesses Abraham on behalf of the God Most High. I read that this week and I was like, that's significant. It says he was blessed first. Abraham was blessed first, and then he gave a tenth. At the very ending of that passage in verse 20, then he gave a tenth out of it. And it's significant for us to catch. When we realize we are blessed, we then express gratitude back towards God and all that he's done on our behalf. And I've totally lost my page here. I apologize about that. Anyway, I've never done that before. I'm going to flip right over here to another one and look it up. Give me just a second. Y'all with me? All right. So Genesis 12 is where you guys can flip over there with me. Take a second to do that. My iPad has totally like shut down on me. Okay, Genesis 12. I want to get that passage and make sure I get it right. So Genesis 12, 2 through 3 says this: I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And then I want you to catch this. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. We are blessed to be a blessing. Abraham gets blessed first by Melchizedek, and then out of that blessing gives back. He realizes his blessing first, and then out of that goes and blesses others, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This is God's original covenant to Abraham, saying, fearlessly go out, leave your family, leave your homeland. You are going to start a people in a new land for me. And he says, you can have the courage to do so based on this passage that I will bless you. I've got your back. And out of that, Abraham begins to own this, what I think leads to Genesis 14, knowing that because he's been blessed, he is then looking to bless, to give back to others. God blesses us to be a blessing. He has given us so much so that we can be a blessing to others. God has given us incredible opportunity and wealth and freedom, and we need to budget our blessings. Some of you may hear the term tithe and think it's a tithe talk. It's a money talk. This is so much more than that. It's a blessing talk. If we think it's all about our money and what's going on in our wallets, we're getting off easy. God has blessed us in so many more ways than just what we have in our wallet, my friends. It's a blessing talk. And catch this, my friend. Hopefully, I won't ask you to show hands here. But probably a fair amount of y'all have a budget, right? If you don't, come to our Dave Ramsey seminar, Financial Peace. You probably need that in your life, okay? But you probably have a budget in your life for your money. Let me ask you this. Do you have a budget for your blessings? Your blessings look like this. It's your freedom. It's your liberties. It's your health. It's your skills, gifts, and talents. Do you see that so much more than the money that you have in your wallet? We are blessed to be a blessing, and God's given us incredible opportunity and given us so much. And out of that, when we have confidence in what we have, then we can bless others. Do we budget our blessings? Listen, my friends, when the Holy Spirit begins to seep into our soul, we begin to realize that we need to give a tenth out of all of our life. Every aspect of it, not just our wallet, but out of everything that we have. Do we budget our blessings? Second thing is, we are blessed to be a blessing, okay? First of all, generosity and gratitude. Gratitude leads to generosity. Second thing, we are blessed to be a blessing. Abraham is blessed first by Melchizedek, and then in response, he gives a tenth. The third thing is, go find your Melchizedek. Go find your Melchizedek. Abraham was actively looking for somebody to give to. And again, it's not about the giving. It's not about the tenth, I don't think. It's not about the money. It is about the gratitude. He is looking for somebody to express gratitude to. I don't know about you, but I have friends that, man, it's like whenever a church does a tithe talk, just the hairs bristle on the back of their neck. They're like, oh, church asking for money. Let me be clear about this. If the church is a hang up for you and you're like, I'm afraid of what the church does with the money that I give, I want to encourage you, go find your Melchizedek. Go find your cause that you can get behind and support, because they need it. And the principle really isn't for them. The principle's more so for you. It's what God's freeing up in your heart when you are expressing gratitude through generosity. If this is a hang up for you, then go find your Melchizedek. But my friends, I do hope that you can see the difference that the church, big C, the church universally, the church worldwide, what God is accomplishing through churches worldwide. You want to know who rushed into the Memorial Day floods just a few years ago in Blanco? You want to know who was the first on the ground and providing the manpower? Churches. We support an organization called Austin Disaster Relief Network. The Red Cross was depending on them. You and me, we're part of that. Some of our people are ready to go that were there just in a second to go help out. I hope that you can see that. I can give you far more illustrations than that. That's just a social one that people buy into. I remember Rick Warren sharing about Hurricane Katrina, and he was like, 75% of the workforce and money, guess who it was? Churches. The Red Cross was like, thank you. Government organizations were like, y'all got far more done and were there far faster than we were. The church in a big C, I hope that you can get behind the kingdom effort that God is doing. I have a friend that we've kind of become bonded, sadly to say, through funerals. And his wife tragically passed away a few years ago in a devastating accident. And he was looking for a minister, his priest. He was looking for a minister in his life to do the funeral. And he's a golfer, and I'm a golfer, washed up golfer at this point with a bad shoulder. But anyway, golfer nonetheless, want to be a golfer. But my friends, we kind of ran in the same circles, golfed in some with some of the same guys, and they're like, hey, here's your guy. We know a guy. And they were like, yes, he's a pastor. Maybe he's a little bit, you know, afraid of that. But he's like, he's also a golfer, so you can trust him. And so we've kind of connected, I hate to say it, sad to say, but through funerals. So I did his wife's funeral. Fast forward a couple years after his wife's funeral, and another one of our friends, another one of our golfing buddies has lost his daughter tragically this last spring in a hit and run. Y'all remember me telling the story. And it was one of my old Lakeway church students where I was a youth pastor, and she was one of my students for lots of years. And coming out of that, he heard all the stories about the things that had been done in her life and the difference that had been done. He said this, he said, Lee, after hearing the stories about the young girl and the impact your group had on her and the incredible young lady that she had become, he just said, I want to give money to what you're doing. And I want to be very clear about this. It's not me. He didn't give the money to me. He gave the money to the church, which is right on. Because I'm just a connecting point. I'm just a funnel. But it was years, 7 years, in fact, of female adult leaders and college leaders and interns and other students, her peers, pouring Jesus into her life that had led her to this beautiful place where when we are recognizing her, on the day that she died, her life, the life that she lived, is a testimony, a beautiful testimony. He's like, I want to support that. I can get behind that. He went and found his Melchizedek. Out of the gratitude in his heart and the generosity that he wanted to express, and the difference that ultimately, whether or not he believes in God or the God that he believes in, he knows that God's making a difference, that he says, I want to give back to the difference that the church, that God is making in these young people's lives. He went and found his Melchizedek. My friends, I would encourage you, out of your gratitude, out of your generosity, if it's not the church, the big C, if it's not the church at Lake Travis, go find your cause. Go seek out your Melchizedek. As we come to our communion time, my friends, there's one last thing that I want to kind of challenge you about when we give a giving talk or we give about a tithe talk or a blessing talk is this. I believe that our giving should cost us something. And it's the one thing that I kind of believe a little bit differently about this passage with Abraham. Because I read that and I was like, you know what, when it's easy, it's easy for me to give when I've defeated five kings, five OGs as the kids call them, when I've defeated five kings and I've received all the blessings from that. That's easy for me to get out of. But then 2 Corinthians talks about the need for us to be a cheerful giver. Why is it a challenge for me to cheerful giver if I'm giving out of the overflow and the abundance of my life when I've defeated five kings and all of a sudden I've just reaped all these spoils, when I've gotten the pay raise, when I've gotten the promotion, whatever it is, why do I need to be challenged on being a cheerful giver? Because our example for giving back is not truly Abraham. It's Jesus Christ. And from that, I get this. When we give, it should cost us something. John 3:16 says, God speaking to you and me, God loved you and me. God loved the world so much that he gave his, gave. It's a lot more than a tenth, my friends. Gave his one and only begotten son to the point it led to his son being on the cross. Talk about what it cost him, what he gave on the cross, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Imagine that for your child. It cost God a lot. The last thing that I got when I read this passage, thought about it with all the other giving passages, blessing passages, generosity passages in Scripture is this. I've got to learn to be a cheerful giver. Why do I have to learn to be a cheerful giver? It means that I need to give in a way that it costs me something, that it's truly sacrificial, that I lose something, that I may be forsaken. And so, my friends, it's a challenge to us today to say, is a tenth enough for me? does a tenth really challenge me? Does just giving of my wallet really challenge me? The blessings I'm talking about here today, that's a lifestyle of blessings. It's giving so much more. As we come to our communion time, my friends, I want us to think as we take the bread representing Jesus' body, we drink the juice representing his blood, I want us to think about all that it costs God and then ask us, does my generosity, my giving back, my tithing, does it cost me anything? Because I think the Bible is raising the bar as you read it on how we give. This is your time, my friends. Y'all bow your heads and your hearts. And I want you to think about that, what you're giving, not just of your money, but out of your life. And think, is it costing you something? Is it sacrificial? Y'all take a few minutes. The band's going to do another song. This is your time. You can take communion whenever you would like, my friends. This is your time. Y'all bow your heads and your hearts.
Thanks for listening to the Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more information on our community of faith, including gathering times and location, check us out online at www.churchlt.com.